The following program is brought to you in living color.
Evening, ma'am. Can I buy you a drink?
I don't think so.
You don't know what you're missing.
You sure you want to go with that? That's like your top of the line A-game material.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wow.
Whatever this is not going to work. Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay guzzling diva. And you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine and our favorite fruit, but were afraid to ask. Yes, we are your media resource for everything about that charming little grape. Yes, of course, not the raisin one, but the actual fulfilled one. We work on being fermented around here. Well, today we are going to have an educational show, at least what I hope is going to be an educational show, because we have two exceptional guests. Now, you know me, believe it or not, my hobby is reading, which is why all of you listeners get stuck hearing about authors on a pretty often occasion, actually, if you think about it. But there is a brand new book out. It's called Secrets of the Sommeliers, How to Think and Drink Like the World's Top Wine Professionals. And the two authors, Rajat Parr and Jordan McKay, are joining us here on The Crush today. So we're going to ask them all kind of great insider questions and see what their perspective are. But, you know, it is kind of consuming, the fact that they have How to Think and Drink Like the World's Top Wine Professionals. I have been around the world's top wine professionals for about the last 15, 20 years, and I've seen how they drink, and the fact they're still on their first liver just astounds me. So I don't know how much of their guidance we want to take today, but we will take from it the fact that we are going to teach you how to drink wine correctly. And actually, on a quick note about that, I think we all owe an apology for making fun of white Zinfandel drinkers for years and years and years. Since we're talking about how to taste and how to drink today, this is the perfect segue into that. WineBusiness.com has an article, How Sweet It Is, Wine Industry Owes Sweet Wine Drinkers a Huge Apology. Apparently, a consumer study released today shows that physiology plays a major role in determining wine preferences and that white Zinfandel drinkers are often the most sensitive tasters, shattering the myth that about sweet wine consumers. So bottom line is, people who are drinking sweet wines tend to be very particular about what they're tasting. It's all a balance of flavors and taste and phenotypes, and the article is very much in depth. But, you know, something about that does resonate, and it does make a little bit of sense to me. Because as I spend more time in the wine business, and I drink, obviously, we know, copious amounts of Chardonnay, and meet different people, it seems like when I run into people who have been in this industry 30 and 40 years, if you look at them and ask them what their favorite wines are, they start talking about Rieslings, they talk about Gewurztraminers, they aren't talking about big Cabernets, they aren't talking about Bordeaux, they aren't talking about Burgundy, but they're talking about some of German's finer offerings. Now, granted, these are usually drier wines, these aren't the sweet Rieslings, but who knows, maybe those with refined palates generally move back to just working on being sweet and sunny. Well, you know, kind of like me, as we're always sweet and sunny. Kent, you are looking at me like I have 12 heads today.
This whole line of discussion. I mean, how we owe a big apology to people for various things.
Well, you know, it's not me apologizing. You know, it tastes like vinegar coming out of my mouth. But, you know.
I mean, what are we suggesting we do for all of the harm and danger that we have caused these white Zinfandel drinkers all these years? What have we done? Warp them?
Well, they were probably
cruel.
I better be very, very careful before I answer that question. I have been known to mock a soul or two.
Oh, have you?
I have, occasionally.
Really?
Well,
I've never heard you do that on this show.
No, shockingly. And
off the air.
Yes, it's usually my friends, but I'll admit it freely. If I'm drinking something or if I'm eating something really hot, I will settle down with a glass of white Zinfandel.
Yeah.
If you listen to sommeliers, if you talk to some restaurant buyers, if you're working on a wine list, you know, it's like, oh, they're just a white Zinfandel drinker. We don't have to consider them.
Yeah.
Or we're doing a tasting out in public. I'm only going to bring a case of white Zin. I'm going to hide it under the table. Invariably, you find a lot of restaurants these days don't even include a white Zinfandel on their by-the-glass list or don't even include one, by the bottle simply because they're hoping to push drinkers in a different direction. Oh, I'm not going to offer white Zinfandel. I'll give them a Riesling. I'll give them a Gewurztraminer. I'll give them something sweeter. So basically, it's only the white Zinfandel drinkers. Look, I'm delighted anybody drinks wine. Any given time, if you have a glass of wine in front of you, I don't care if it has ice cubes in it.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's in a sippy cup. And I don't care if you're drinking out of a straw. I don't care if you're drinking out of a bottle. As long as you're drinking wine, I'm happy. But a lot of my compatriots in this business don't really feel that way. And so they tend to disabuse people. Oh, you drink white Zinfandel? I'll find something better for you. It never crosses their mind that this person might actually enjoy the flavor and enjoy the taste. So I think that's where the headline of Wine Business News came from, is saying we owe them an apology for some people deriding their particular choice of wine.
Okay. I mean, it just seems like we're just apologizing a lot in our culture these days. I'm not sure it's all justified.
How many shows do you produce? Because I know you're not getting that from this one.
Nobody ever apologizes to me. Let me tell you that.
No, I'm sure they don't.
No, they don't.
But we'll certainly work. Hey, listeners, please call us 877-4CRUSH-1 or email me, Laura Lawson at winecrush.com, and let's all give Kent the great apology he deserves.
No.
It seems like he doesn't get one from anybody. No, and let's face facts, a lot of you out there have to have a great amount of sympathy for him because he does put up with me. So 877-4CRUSH-1, tell Kent how sorry you are for him.
I don't want your gratuitous apologies. I want the sincere ones. That's all I want.
But what fun's that?
None. Hey, would you do a technical thing? Would you pull your microphone just a tick closer?
There you go. Are you happier now?
I'm much happier now.
If you're happy,
when you're
I'm
apologizing,
happy.
For some reason your mic backs up. I don't know what it is.
Thing runs right across the studio. It is gone. All right, believe it or not, listeners, you are listening to The Wine Crush. This is the show that's all about the grape and all its glory. We've just kind of gotten off on a meandering ramble. So I apologize for that. But of course, it would not be the Wine Crush without my great wine recommendations. And I got two very strange ones for you today. Maybe that can just characterize the whole day as we move through. Number one, the wine that caused all the problems 2 years ago. It caused the problems last year. Yes, it is official. The Donna Estates 2007 Lotus Cabernet has been released to the general public. Yes, this is the most expensive wine ever recommended on the show. And of course, I will go ahead and attest to the fact I am way before my time. I told you about this wine. I told you how good it was. Now, Parker's throwing around 99s, 100s about the different vintages, about the different vineyards. So yes, the 2007 Donna Estates Lotus Cabernet is released. If you can find it, and that's a big if, you'll be paying $275, $300 a bottle. But once again, for those of you who are jumping on the Colgan Harlan Screaming Eagle bandwagon, this is the wine you need to have. This is the cult classic. This is the one that's going to make or break or define you. In 10 years from now, you can say, yes, Donna Estates, I have the first couple of vintages. Of course, I found them before Parker did. And of course, we all know you found them because of the Wine Crush. So that is your red wine recommendation for today. Yes, I know it's expensive, but this show is about collectors and serious wine. Or at least serious winers. There is an H in wine occasionally. Makes no difference. But bottom line, it is out. Go find it. Good luck. Now, as far as white wines go, we get a question occasionally about aging wines or laying down wines. Or I found this 2000 Farniente Chardonnay and can I drink it? And I always try and caution you and say, it's a matter of producer. It's a matter of not expense, but what time and construct goes into these Chardonnays. I had a little, I won't say joke, but someone did a bait and switch on me at lunch yesterday. And I thought I was drinking the brand new Nickel & Nickel Searby Chardonnay because the 2008 had been released. And I was excited to taste it, and I was looking at it, and I knew that was what I was supposed to be drinking. And I grabbed the wine, and I tasted, and I'm like, wow, I cannot believe the depth. I can't believe the caramel. I can't believe the spice that's in this wine. Great Russian River Chardonnay, but wow, I cannot believe they've managed to do this. Well, of course, my sadistic friends, all of a sudden, I hear a whole bunch of giggling from the other end of the table. And sure enough, they take the bottle, and it's the 2006 Searby Nickel & Nickel Chardonnay. So I learned two lessons. Number one, Nickel & Nickel, we have talked about on the show, all 26 different varietals they do. They're exceptional. They only do them when they're good. Yes, the wines are great. but I have now officially learned firsthand how well the white wines age. I expected it from Farniente. I didn't know what to expect from Nickel & Nickel. So Sirby Chardonnay from Nickel & Nickel, the 2006 vintage, is drinking exceptionally well. So that is something to think about as you're going into all these restaurants that are doing, whether it's the half-price bottles, the half-price glasses, doing discounted things. Just because when you're looking in the Chardonnay category that you see 05s or 06 still on that list, do not automatically by rote dismiss them. Obviously, there's some great values to be had, but I think a lot of you will be surprised at how good some of those older Chardonnays can taste. So your two red wine, or your two wines for today, Donna Estates 2007 Lotus Vineyards Cabernet, good luck. And the other one, Nickel & Nickel Sirby Chardonnay. Any vintage you can get your hand on, it'd be interesting to know what you think. We're going to take a small break right here, but when we return, of course, we will have more of the Delightful Crush and, of course, more of my charming ideas and emails.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. This is the Wine Crush. Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUsKids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. ask your doctor. Or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Some nice, smooth, and mellow tones to get us all in the nice, happy, pleasant mood. Thank you, Kent. I like that. Is this your way of taming the beast?
Trying.
It's bad enough I have a security program trying to shut me down. Now you're going to find another way. I'm definitely not letting you bring me a cup of tea or some cola. That's for sure.
That's very good. Good
thought. All right. Well, of course, it's always fun. I told you about our guests. They're the authors of Secrets of Sommeliers. But it does help to have a little bit of a backstory. Obviously, for those of you who have been loyal listeners for many years, you can go on the website, winecrush.com, and pull up the archive and see we've had some great master sommeliers on the show and listen to what they have to say in describing their job. Of course, you can also read my bio and different things. But ultimately, I think people get confused about sommeliers. They don't really understand them. They can either take the tactic where they're very intimidating. A lot of people seem to think that sommeliers are just there to get in their pocketbooks. Or on the flip side of it, they feel like sommeliers are just going to make fun of them back in the kitchen. No, trust me, none of that is true these days. Or at least I would hope none of that is true. I hope that everyone who's going out to restaurants that employ sommeliers are doing it because they're a learning experience. They're helping people into the wine culture. But to understand best a sommelier, I have an email. An email's from Daphne in Dallas. And Daphne writes, "Is a wine manager the same as a sommelier? I was recently out to dinner at one of our local steakhouses and asked for some assistance on the wine list. My server promptly looked at me and said, I will bring our wine manager over and they can go through it with you. And as she left, I wondered, is this the same as a sommelier? And if so, why didn't they call it as such? Who was a wine manager and why were they messing with my wine list?" Well, Daphne, that's a very, very good question. I don't know where you were, but I do know this much. You know, obviously, sommelier is a generic term. If you go into France, if you go into England, if you go overseas, you know, anyone in charge of a beverage program is generally considered a sommelier. But in the in light of recent years, especially here in the States, especially in London, especially in England, there is a world-defined title of sommelier, and it comes from the Court of Master Sommeliers. And it's not just like any Joe Blow who sat down in Red Wine for Dummies can call themselves, "I am the restaurant sommelier." They actually have to have enrolled in the program. There's four levels of exams. You had to sit through the exams to go through to actually be able to be declared one. Please do check out our archives that will go into it. So if you were in your restaurant and someone said, "I will bring my wine manager over," chances are, no, this person wasn't a sommelier. Now, that leads to a whole different discussion. Does that mean that person knew nothing about wine? Absolutely not. Some people do opt to do the formal training, to go through the courses, to go through the exams, to go through the aggravation, and I do mean that in the nicest sense, of sitting for the exams, flying around the world and doing this. I actually have made it to the level of certified sommelier, and I will tell an interesting little story here because this will give you an idea of how in-depth these things can get. I was practicing my service angle as far as rolling up to the table with a cart to present and decant a bottle of older wine. And part of the decanting process, it's very, very involved. Needless to say, it involves matches and a candle. So I'm rolling up. I've got my little bottle. I've got my coasters. I've got my glasses. I've got my decanter. And I have lit the candle to hold over the neck of the bottle so that I can see the sediment coming out. And somewhere along the lines, I was mad and I screwed up. I either dripped wine on the tablecloth or I did something I wasn't supposed to. So I slammed the candle down. I slammed the matches down. And I just, at that point, I had practiced it 16 times and still wasn't getting it right. And I leaned forward to beat my head against the cart and promptly set my hair on fire. Now, these are the kind of stories, and this is what's involved in becoming a sommelier. So if you don't feel like churring your hair or actually going through all this aggravation, I do understand it. Now, because I haven't finished my sommelier degree, does that mean I know nothing about wine? No. It just means, once again, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of pressure, and there is a lot of studying to do it. And wine managers, absolutely, they may have studied the Wine Bible. They may have read the Certified Wine Educator's Guide. They may have been tasting wine since they were 5 years old and have just opted not to pursue formal education. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. So when you had your wine manager come over and talk to you and talk to your table, is that a bad thing? Absolutely not. I think anyone brave enough in a restaurant to have a server identify them as a wine manager, more power to them, because people are going to ask questions just like you did. Well, how come you're a wine manager and not a sommelier? So, yes, it is perfectly acceptable to talk to a wine manager in a restaurant. And does that mean they're a sommelier? Nope. But does it make a difference? It depends on the level of dining. It depends on how your interaction was with that person. Bottom line is, that's what it matters to most, is the diner and the person in the restaurant. I don't care if it's the chef coming out to talk about wine. If that person has enhanced your experience, has talked to you about wine on a level you understand, and the wine they have chosen for you has complemented your meal and made it a great experience, I seriously don't care if they're in an Easter Bunny outfit. It doesn't matter. Life is good, and you have learned something. Just because they didn't go all the way through and get the title, it means nothing to you, and it means nothing to them. Life is good. So, Daphne, I hope that answers that question. For the rest of you, I hope it gives you a small insight into what's involved in becoming a sommelier. It is a very, very difficult process. There's a lot of studying. There's a lot of effort required. So it'll be interesting to hear how our two authors, Rajat Parr and Jordan McKay, relay to us the secrets of the sommeliers. I figure I have just shared a big secret with all of you listeners in setting my hair on fire, but you never know. Well, I'd love to hear from the rest of you. I know there's some of you out there who are listening who have attempted to get involved in the sommelier process, or call yourselves sommelier or call yourselves wine managers. Would love to know your take and perception on this. If you could, give us a call, 877-4-CRUSH-1, or email me directly at lauralawson@winecrush.com. Now, I want to follow up on something. It's a little out of the way, but it was such a great gesture that I do have to mention this. A couple of weeks ago on the show, I was talking about visiting California, visiting Napa Valley, visiting Sonoma, and I told you that there was this wine guide that it was pretty much located at any hotel, any restaurant, any winery you walked into, but trust me, you'd know it when you saw it and to grab it. Well, one of our kind listeners actually mailed me one, and I do appreciate that. So for those of you who are going out to Napa and Sonoma, when you're out in your different restaurants, when you're out in the wineries, look for something called the Prizer Key, P-R-E-I-S-E-R Key. They print it 4 times a year. It is a great, great reference. It's a great guide. And if I were you, I'd definitely take one, bring one home, and that way you can always have it at your fingertips. It gives you the names, the phone numbers, the dates, whether they're open to the public, whether they're not open to the public, how to get there. And it gives you a whole bunch of cute little notes, too. You know, whether it's telling you the glossary of bottle sizes or where to find the Silverado Trail or about different wineries, definitely worthwhile. Well, we're going to take a small break right here, but when we return, we will welcome our guests, Rajat Parr and Jordan McKay, and learn a little bit more about the dark side of the sommelier side.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactive works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactive Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactive's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes, between a flower or an elephant? what would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beach? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Right now, I am very excited to introduce our 2 guests. We have Rajat Parr and Jordan McKay. They wrote the book Secrets of the Sommeliers, How to Think and Drink Like the World's Top Wine Professionals. Rajat is director of Mina Group, which develops and manages over 17 different restaurants. And Jordan McKay is the wine and spirits editor of San Francisco Magazine and the author of Passion for Pinot. Gentlemen, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
It's nice to have both of you on the line. This is always fun anytime we have 2 guests at the same time. It usually means that sometimes we can get into arguments, but after reading your book and some things, I don't think y'all argue about much, do you?
I try to argue with him, but Raj always wins.
Because I don't argue.
Well, that's just no fun. Well, for our listeners, I've been introducing to them Secrets of the Sommeliers, talking a little bit about your book. Now, I have to admit, I poked a little bit of fun at the subtitle, How to Think and Drink Like the World's Top Wine Professionals. I've met a lot of these people over the years, whether it was Doug Frost, Fred Dane. I've seen how they drink, and they generally need a spare liver to put in their little briefcase. So I did offer a word of caution about that.
I think the this is Jordan. I think the word of caution is actually well advised, and you're right. It is a drinking culture, but you know we celebrate that in the book. And if you're working in or involved with wine, you know that there's a Dionysian aspect to it. But the thinking part is probably even more important because you know you have to know how to drink well.
You do, and you have to actually know that there's a structure to drinking. So let's take a moment right here. Jordan, why don't you tell all of our listeners about you and your background and how you decided to work on this book?
Well, I started writing about wine full-time about 10 years ago, shortly before I moved to San Francisco. And, you know, I just always loved wine since I was a little kid even, and the opportunity to write about it for magazines and newspapers and books just kind of presented itself, and when that kind of thing does, you can't turn it down. And in 2002, I met a sommelier who would then go on to become my wife, and you know, her great friend. And at the same time, I met Raj here, and just over the last 8 years, was sort of welcomed into the world of sommeliers, even though I don't serve wine at a restaurant. And I found it to be just an incredible culture of people who do what they do first because they love wine, and then second because they like to work really hard in restaurants. But it's really it's a profession of passion, of commitment, and I've been so lucky to be involved with them. And this book is just sort of the icing on the cake of that, and getting to spend so much time with Raj.
That makes sense. Well, Raj, tell the listeners a little bit about you. How did you decide that you truly had the passion for wine and get involved in it?
I grew up in Calcutta and came to New York to go to the CIA to want to become a chef. And while I was going to school, I did a wine class and fell in love with wine, and then decided to move into wine, moved to San Francisco, work with Larry Stone. And my goal was just to serve wine, learn about wine, and that's pretty much it. And then just slowly working and in different restaurants. You know, ultimately, like 10 years after that, I thought that maybe we should write a book about something, like explaining the life of sommeliers, because, you know, nobody written a book about sommeliers and what sommeliers do and, you know, how our life is, because people think it's just like you wake up in the morning and you drink a glass of wine and you just hang around and socialize, but it's very different than that. So this book is basically a picture of what how sommeliers came to be yesterday, because it's a pretty new profession in the U.S. It's pretty old in Europe, but this is just the beginning, I think, of a very long, line of great sommeliers in the States.
Well, come on, Raj. We all know the stereotype. You actually get up every morning. You put on a suit. You stroll into work around 1 o'clock. You wait for people to come and ask you questions about wine, and then you make fun of them. Isn't that how that works?
I wish. I wish that's how it worked, because I guess maybe if you work in one restaurant, you can go to work at noon or 1, but if you have multiple restaurants in different time zones, you know, your day starts pretty early. So and ends pretty late. So I still work the floor every night, and yeah, that's just the fun part of it.
But you're not far off. That once you've really made it as a sommelier, your life can be a little bit more like that. But leading up to that point is years and years and years of hard work. No one ever sees the time they spend in the cellar, you know, unloading, packing boxes, doing inventory, tasting wines, setting up wines by the glass, ordering them. And we get it all, that part in the book, too, that a successful life in wine, be it professional or even just at the home or the amateur, involves a certain amount of engagement and work that, that you know, people don't often really see.
No, they really, really don't. I think that's part of what, Raj, I believe you said something about this. You know, in Europe, it's obviously, it's a long-standing tradition. It's you don't want to say an old career, but it has definitely been around. In the United States, people can't relate to this. You know, they just see the gentleman on the floor with the little grapes on his jacket and think, oh, that's the wine guy. They don't realize that, you know, they spent 3 hours on the computer after the wine list crashed and all of a sudden it disappeared, that they were down in the cellar for 4 hours moving boxes 18 different directions because they somehow lost 4 different bottles of Aubryon. They don't really know all the work and all the slavery that goes into it.
You sound like a former sommelier yourself.
I may have moved a box or two in my life. I have worked on all the dark sides of the business, and I have great compassion for sommeliers because I spent entirely too much time on the wholesale side. So trust me, I know what y'all been through. So besides that, as we get into the book, obviously the heart and soul of this is about the book and what you've written. And what I have read, I believe it's a very, very engendering book. It gives people a true insight into what's involved. And I think your book's going to go a long way towards dispelling the myth that people just think that wine is terrifying or people think wine is intimidating. And I love the fact that what you've written is a book about the insider's tract. That, yes, there is a lot of travel and there's a lot of study, but there's a lot of cool stuff behind it. So, at some point over the next 10, 15 minutes, Raj, I'll start with you. You wrote The Secrets of the Sommeliers. What do you think the number one secret of being a sommelier is, and how does that relate to our listeners?
I think the number one secret is, you know, trust yourself, trust your palate, because the very first thing in wine we know is that you have to like the wine, you have to understand the wine. And so trust your palate, taste different wines, keep an open mind, and you know, and really stick to what you like. And you don't have to drink. You don't have to drink wine people tell you to drink. You drink the wine you like. And someone might like a light Pinot. Someone might like a heavy Syrah or a Cabernet. Or someone might like a dry Riesling. Or someone might like a off-dry sweet Riesling. So trust your palate. That is not only a secret. It's the reality of wine today.
Well, a lot of people think they've only had Chardonnay in their lifetime. They've only had Cabernet. They don't even understand truly what a palate is or how to get one. What's your advice to people like this who look at you and say, I don't have a palate, I don't know what I like?
Well, again, try everything. So, you know, the best way to do it is go to a wine bar or go to a restaurant who has nice wines in a glass and taste different wines. And keep an open mind and try to understand what you like and what you don't like. If you don't like the acidity part of it, you don't like sweetness part of it, and then figure out what you really like and stick to that. But keep an open mind. Always, it's very important to keep an open mind. Also, another thing is to really to get a palate, smell everything. You know, smell the vegetables, go to the market, smell the herbs, smell the flowers, smell all the fruit. Because these things, all the aromas of all these amazing fruits and vegetables and herbs and flowers are in wine. Just because that's just how, you know, grapes turn into aromatics and esters, and that's what it smells like. So if you don't know what, you know, overripe strawberry tastes like, and you smell it in a wine, you can't describe it. So if you go to the market, just, you know, smell your strawberries, smell the cherries, smell the sage. And
like all of us say, go to the barnyard, smell that. Actually, we're going to take a small break right here, but I am going to call you on something, Raj. It's funny. You do the same Freudian slip that I do when I'm talking about wine. You're trying to tell people always you need to keep an open mind. But just like me, it always comes out, you need to keep an open wine. Gee, I don't know. Maybe we drink too much. All right, we're going to take a small break right here. When we get back, we're going to put Jordan on the spot and get his impression of what the number one thing a sommelier needs to know.
For pictures, videos, show recaps, and more, become a fan of Wine Crush Radio Group on Facebook.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153.
Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
You've been hearing and seeing good things about Z-Max Micro Lubricant everywhere, and you're curious, what is Z-Max Micro Lubricant? Well, it's the only pure micro lubricant that penetrates into the metal of your engine to clean out deposit buildup, improve gas mileage, and your engine's performance. Go ahead, get a bottle, add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It's easy to do. Get Z-Max at a retail performance partner near you, and you'll experience a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. Z-Max it.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com. And click on the banner.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. We are in the midst of speaking with Rajat Parr and Jordan McKay, the authors of Secret of Sommeliers. And right now it is Jordan's turn up to bat as he has had moments to think about what is the best secret of the sommelier? What is the one our listeners need to know, the thing that's in the forefront of your mind right now, Jordan?
Well, I think, you know, and this is also aimed at a lot of the very young sommeliers, the people getting into the business, because I've met young and old and I've observed them all over the years. And a lot of the attraction is working around fine wine, the world's greatest wines, you know, the first growths of Bordeaux, the Grand Crus of Burgundy, Super Tuscans, etc. You know, that can never really be the sommelier's focus. I think that a lot of times that people get so caught up in the rare wines that they forget that the number one job of the sommelier is service. And I think you in your first question to Raj really even hit upon this a little bit, that, you know, what about the people who don't know their palates, who don't, you know, who aren't articulate and expressive about their views of wine? Well, sommeliers need to cater to those people as well on the restaurant floor, and they just can't go after the high dollar, the big collectors. And I think that, you know, sommeliers really need to remember to have compassion, to remember how they were when they were first just learning about wine, and to remember that service and taking care of all guests is just as important as taking care of the whales, so to speak.
Speaking of the whales, I'm asking you both this question because it's something I do encounter and we get emails and calls on. It seems that there's a good portion of the population that thinks if a restaurant has a sommelier, the sommelier's sole goal is to upsell them into a really, really expensive bottle of wine. How often do y'all encounter that, and how do you counter it?
You know, no one's perfect, and the world is what it is, but the sommelier's goal is always to serve wine and to find the best possible value. And I hope that no sommelier out there, and I'll call them upon if someone does, if their goal is to upsell wine.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a really, really great question. And I have to tell you that I hear it all the time from sommeliers that the opposite often happens. Funny enough, that they're trying to talk people down. People come into their restaurants thinking that they need to spend a lot of money to get a great bottle of wine. And then they become suspicious of the sommeliers.
Yeah.
And they
It's absolutely true. My husband is a sommelier, and he gets frustrated because he'll have people come in his restaurant, and they'll come in and they'll say, I want a bottle of Camus. And he's like, well, you know, the Camus is exceptional, but I've got this bottle. I've just gotten in. It's a new vintage. Hey, it's a little bit less expensive, and these people absolutely freak out on him. They're like, absolutely not. My guests are going to think I'm cheap, and I want that because I know it's good.
So, yeah, exactly. I mean, as we know, you know, if you really spend a lot of time around wine, you know that the most expensive bottles are generally most expensive because of quality, but also because of rarity. And there's lots and lots of great wines out there that haven't either gotten the press or the attention yet, and that are fantastic deals. You know?
Oh, absolutely. It's amazing. I do have an economics background. If demand exceeds supply, the wine's going to be expensive. Does that make it good? Not necessarily, but if demand exceeds supply, the price is definitely going to go up. When you're looking at your diner, say a diner comes in, they're coming to sit down, and here's one our listeners ask us a lot when you're talking about secrets of sommelier, you know, how to taste, how to drink, how am I supposed to approach that bottle of wine? What happens when they sit down and they taste the wine and they don't like it? What do you recommend people doing with that bottle?
Send it back. I take it right back. No questions asked. I take it right back, and I'll taste the wine myself, have someone to taste it, and if it doesn't fit the palate, no problem. Get something else. It's very, very simple. There's no questions asked. It could be a perfect wine. It could be oxidized, cork, whatever. The bottle's taken off, and you get a new bottle, either the same if the bottle's off, or you get a replacement, talk to the guests, and find them something else they like.
And you know what? Good sommeliers know how to dispose of a perfectly fine bottle of wine that comes back because it wasn't to a diner's liking. They can pour it for other guests. They can pour it for their staff. There's all sorts of things. That wine never goes to waste.
No, and certainly I'm sure the chef has a voice or two about that as well. Yeah. So we've been talking in general to our listeners who are wine lovers. In closing, for both of you, you know, you wrote the book, literally, Secrets of Sommelier. Raj and Jordan, what's the one quick piece of advice you'd give to people who are looking to become a sommelier being a wine manager?
The very first thing is, as Jordan said, compassion and humility. Never, ever take service for granted. Never, ever think that you're powerful, that you can, you know, listen to the guest and understand the guest and serve the guest the wine they want. Don't serve the guest the wine you want. The guest must get the wine they like to drink.
Yeah, and I would also say from knowing all sorts of restaurant owners and managers who hire sommeliers, that you don't have to be a wine genius to get a job. What they're looking for first and foremost is attitude, interest, enthusiasm, and a work ethic. So if you go into a job interview, even at some of the finest restaurants in the country, you still might have a chance of coming out with that job.
I think both of those are great pieces of advice, and I have to admit, you know, thinking back through things and people I've encountered, it's stuff that we understand, but it's never been actually communicated. So absolutely, people have to understand if they're going to be in the business, especially if a service industry, you have to have the humility. But Jordan, actually, to your point, I think it's exceptional. Hey, you know, we all can't be gods like Raj and be able to pick out a commune of 800 people. I wish we could. We're certainly striving for that. But ultimately, if I care enough to pick up a book or a back label or go on the website or to pick up and call the winery, then that says if I'm going to care that much about learning on my own, then I'm definitely going to take care of my guest.
Absolutely.
Well, guys, this has been a pleasure for me. I'd love to have y'all back on the show at some other point. I'd like to hear how the book is progressing. And y'all can't stop with just one. So now I want to hear the dark side of the sommeliers. That's what I want to see as the next, and I'll be happy to be a source. Hey, guys, thank you very much. I wish you continued success. For our listeners, the link to the book and how to find out about Raj and Jordan will certainly be on winecrush.com. And once again, Secrets of the Sommeliers, How to Think and Drink Like the World's Top Wine Professionals. Well, we're going to take a small break right here. When we return, we're going to wrap up and talk about the show and, of course, plan on what we're doing next here on The Crush.
Need a wine recommendation for a party? Want Laura to address something on the show? Email her at lauralawson@winecrush.com.
Term life insurance. It can be a powerful way to protect your assets and your family. You work hard to earn and save your money to build a nest egg for the future. Don't let it get wiped out because you didn't plan ahead. Take the time now and make a small investment in $500,000 or more in quality term life insurance. Call the Term Lifeline and let us shop the best companies to give you the lowest rates. We specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. Ask about some of our 10 and 20-year fixed rate plans with guaranteed rates. Call the Term Lifeline right now for your free insurance quote. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM. You owe it to yourself to protect your family and your assets. Make term life insurance part of that plan. Call the Term Lifeline right now. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com. And click on the banner.
Don't let your car or truck turn into a clunker. Z-Max it. Z-Max added to your oil and your gas tank can clean internal engine components and fuel systems, reduce engine wear, and give you better mileage. Z-Max is a pure micro lubricant that gives you a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. These are some big claims, but they've all been backed up by some of the most rigorous testing in the industry. Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts retailer.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood, concrete, brick walls, trees,
small cars. It can even chomp through these 8 guitars. It chomps things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
This is The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and a special thanks go out to Rajat Parr and Jordan McKay, authors of The Secret of the Sommeliers. But a special thanks goes out to them, too, because I love it when we get a moment, when we have time to capture exactly what, one, the idea of The Wine Crush encapsulates, but two, we get a chance to destroy a stereotype. So real quick, I want to go back. No, I did not pay Raj to say you need to drink what you like, because that's what it comes down to. I preach and preach and preach about that. Drink what you like, not what you're told. Whether a sommelier, a wine manager, a magazine, it does not matter. If you don't like it, don't drink it. Very, very cut and dried. But I laughed about this at the start of the segment with both the gentlemen, and that everyone has this stereotype image of a sommelier, and we can just envision him, his white skin, his pointy nose, his very starched shirt, his suit, his pins on his jacket, the waiter wrap over his arm, and of course the bottle of wine in his hand. But that is all what's in our head. You know, we expect him to come over and be snooty. They are not. That is the stereotype that we killed back in the 30s and 40s, and that does not exist today. Think about what you heard from the guys. Humility, service, value, and compassion. And I have to admit, I love the compassion angle on it, because let's face facts, I don't care whether you're the level of Raj is, you're the level of I am, or if you're the person that's drinking white Zinfandel who can taste better than the rest of us. We've all had those moments when we're sitting there and we're looking at the wine list and we can't choose, we can't decide, or we can't understand what's in front of us. And so a true sommelier is a great person to read people, to come over and be compassionate in the sense that, you know, hey, this is what this person has to spend and this is what they're kind of lost on, and to gently guide them through. It's not dragging them through the bushes. It's not dragging them along the maze. It is actually assisting them. And that's what a sommelier should do best. It should assist you in making your dining experience or your evening or your lunch a little more pleasant. So encourage all of you, check out the website, check out the book, Secrets of the Sommeliers. But right now, I'm going to have to give up giving advice and wrap this show to a close. Here at The Wine Crush, as always, we remind you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most important, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.